Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chami, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Hey, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM,
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. Good evening, wherever you are. We are greeting you from your number one talk radio station in Namibia, that is Eagle FM. And it's a beautiful Monday of the 10th of November 2025. We are progressing, moving forward toward the end of the year. And like we are always indicating to you, make sure that it's not yet over. It's not yet over. It's not yet the end of the year. There is still a lot that you can do, because what matters in life is how you conclude, is how you finalize, your goal, is how you bring your goal to the conclusion. Just know that for those of you who follow Champions League or even Premier League, you'll be able to realize that most of the games are won on extra time. That's why it's not too early to say you did not do anything in 2025, because that plan that you have, you can still execute it within 1 month or within few days. But it's very important also to make sure that the fact that you are alive, you are happy, the fact that you are listening to your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia, is the fact that shows that there is still something that you have achieved. There's still greatness that you have achieved. So that's why we are indicating to you from this hour of 1800 hours to 1900 hours. This is the time that we discuss about business. We discuss about economics. And the interesting part of the show is that we look at global affairs. We look at regional affairs. We look at what is happening in the continent. And indeed, we look at, domestic affairs to say what is really happening in Namibia. The strikes of magistrate, is a strike of magistrate done? What is the impact of that to the economy, for example, to say where are we standing in terms of our plans? Are we no more speaking about NDP6 or what? Are we back to our offices? But where are we standing? We are asking those questions. And we're also doing a comparative analysis between African countries and also scale it down to Namibia to say, when it comes to Namibia, what are those things that we have done well? What are those things that we are struggling with? What lesson can we learn? Either is from a bad experience of another country, either is from a good experience of another country, to see what lesson can we learn from Tanzania, for example. What lesson can we learn from Malawi? What lesson can we learn from Botswana? What lesson can we learn from Mali and Burkina Faso? Because at the end of the day, something has to be guided by something for us to move forward. That's why at the Business and Economic Segment, we dive deep into those conversations to see and understand where everything is coming from, and also be able also to understand how should we navigate through challenges, what are the perspective on economic theories, and where are the positions of the Namibian people when it's coming to economic affairs and development in general. That's why before the end of 2025, we are still going to track the records. We are still going to look at the records. We are still going to track the promises. We are tracking the plans. We are tracking the strategic plans. Either is National Development Plan number 6. Either is BON Financial Sector Transformation Strategy. Either is Institutional or Organizational Plan. We are going to track and also see what really happened, what is really happening, and also what are those things that we said we are going to do and we did not do them. Interestingly, apart from the AU call for international, international institution and also, global states to assist in fighting against terrorism, you must be able to realize that, a country like, Mali, it's in a very difficult situation, particularly where the terrorists giving the government.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Particularly where the terrorists are giving the government hand time, they are giving the government of Mali hard time. That's why you'll be able also to see that, at that note, there are some of the civilians who are abducted. You speak about also three Egyptian civilians who are abducted. That's why the government of Mali, together with the African Union, are asking for assistance. Either it's a technical know-how, either it's military support, either it's intelligence analysis, and also, you know, sharing of the technical know-how on how to defeat terrorism, because terrorism in Africa is not a new thing. And the question that you're asking on the economy is that who stood the most part of the benefit of the chaos in Africa? Who is supporting these people with guns, money, and also technology that they have? Because if you look at groups such as M23, they are armed more than some of, you know, African states military. These people are armed. They have a high level of military intelligence, military equipment, better training. That's why it's always very difficult. And the issues of security must really be, you know, dealt with before we speak about how we need to do it, particularly in the economic part. So what is the conversation for today? The conversation for today, we are looking at financial misrepresentation. We are looking at the impact of debt misreporting, and also cooking of numbers, cooking of statistics. What do those actions and activities have when it comes to national development? Because one thing that you need to do, what you need to understand, is that the development of Africa have been spoken about since the 1960s. The development of the continent of Africa has been spoken about since the 1960s. Throughout all those years, African countries have tried various ways, different systems, different ideologies, different, economic models on how to push forward to advance African economy, to advance African infrastructure, and indeed to advance human development. But at the center of that is a system of governance, particularly the system of governance which deal with service delivery, the system of governance which deal with the establishment of infrastructure, and the system of governance which deal with pure, effective, and efficient financial management. Now, part of development is funding. Majority, if not all, the fundings, in most cases, African countries, when they want to develop their projects, they go outside. They look for a consultant. They seek for advice from World Bank, from International Financial, International Monetary Fund, and other institutions to assist that country to draw up their developmental plan, to assist, that country on how they should prioritize their developmental plan. Part of that is budgeting and the reporting, data management, and also accountability of issues. However, what is very interesting is that when you are dealing with international financial institution, this institution are dealing with records. That's why you find many African countries are not able to account. Many African countries are not able to account of the funds that were given to them by international financial institutions, and they cannot be able to point out on tangible projects that they have done. Now, here is where the problem is. You are already a dependent country in terms of boosting your national budget, in terms of funding your projects, in terms of paying your civil servants, and also in terms of driving priority areas. But if you lack accountability, if you lack the eye for finance, if you lack strong auditors, if you lack, political will, to address the issue of financial mismanagement and misreporting, then it's not only that you are going to be blocked from international financial, you know, assistance, you're also going to block yourself, because if you cannot keep track of your records, people will continue to use the system to their advantage. You know, I was looking at one court document, and it's quite embarrassing. And some people may discuss it as, is it a political witch hunt or is something, but it's quite embarrassing to see senior government officials also, you know, after so many years in the public eye, then the records of high courts are indicating that this person is guilty of a case that is committed when he was an administrator somewhere. But that also brings us to the question of accountability, to say, how do we deal with accountability of institutions? And also, how do we deal with accountability in terms of how we run government projects and also resources of the state? Now, the conversation of today is based on Senegal. It was stated that Senegal, the previous administration of Senegal, was misreporting, was hiding how much the country owe to IMF, which led to, you know, led to International Monetary Fund to freeze around 1.8 billion lending program, or 1.8 billion US dollars that was supposed to be given to Senegal due to the previous administration failing to, you know, to report back and also indicate at what level are these debts. Now, the other interesting thing to look at, is how did Senegal found out about this? When you look at developmental priorities, when you look at developmental priorities, particularly when it's coming to either World Bank or International Monetary Fund, this institution, when they are coming into your country, they conduct an assessment. They conduct an assessment, and then they look at the project that you want to implement. They look at the time frame. After looking at the time frame, they also technically advise you on how you need to report back, and also evaluate understanding of the project, and they will assist you on how you are going to pay back. Now the question is that, are they not in business? Yes, they are in business. But what happened when a politician, when a leader is given a task, a responsibility to run a project for the service of the people, but there are no documents? Have you ever seen the records of, have you ever seen a report of a project which is well funded, but when it comes to reporting, numbers are not numbering. Numbers are not numbering. What is stated on paper and what is given, there is no correlations. That's why now Senegal found itself at this predicament, and also to that extent that even if the country now is in desperate need of funds, they still need to be accounted for that money that is lost, because the track records are saying it's around 11.8 billion US dollars there. That is how debts are ballooning up, particularly those which were not reported by the previous administration. Now the current administration of Senegal is trying to find a way in which, you know, their country can get loans and assistance from IMF. Now, the question is not, what do we need to do, right, so that we can get money from IMF? The question is that, for how long are the African countries going to develop with, by looking outside? And the other question is that, for how long are the African countries going to get money instead of putting them into projects, they're putting them in their pockets? And for how long are we going to fight this battle of economic inequality? If you're asking yourself that question, then now, what is very interesting is that Senegal is even better. There's a country such as Malawi. Malawi is a country which has been suffering due to economic inequality. It has been suffering due to lack of basic infrastructure. And the country is in debt. The country is in debt. And the country is also, being given it depends on external fundings. More than 50% of his budget depends on external fundings to operate, which means that there is already that aspect of dependency. What does it mean when you have that aspect of dependency? Whatever you produce in your country, you sell it outside. People determine the price because you are suffering. People determine the price of food because you cannot produce food for yourself. People determine the price of energy because you cannot sustainably produce energy for yourself. The world determine the price of oil because you do not have any influence. You don't have a refinery. You don't have an investment in that oil block. Then you become a tool of other countries to move forward. Now, if now we are looking at the case of Senegal and we are comparing with Malawi, if you are looking at the case of Senegal and we are comparing with Malawi, we can also now come back to ourselves and also ask a question also to say, what lesson can we learn from this situation of Senegal as Namibia? What lesson can we learn? Are we an exception? Indeed, we are not an exception. We are actually not an exception at all. Are we using data correctly? If we are using data correctly, why every time numbers are not balanced? If we are using data correctly, why not all state institutions having unqualified, audit report? If numbers are balancing, what happened to the recommendation of Auditor General's office, particularly when it comes to the using of money? And even offices that you cannot mention, there is no clear report on what have you done with that money. And there is no accountability. Now the question you're asking yourself is that for how long are we going to use international fundings just as a tool to get where we want to get, but not really as a tool for positive change of our people? Because we do not have a luxury of time, especially on the ground that we want to achieve what we want to achieve. And this should not only be looked at to public office bearers. It should not only be looked at that way to public office bearers. This is something that needs to be looked at down to an administrator at a certain primary school, to an administrator at a certain clinic, to somebody who deal with money less than 10,000, to somebody who deal with money less than 5,000, as long as that money is aimed to fund the project of the country, as long as that money is intention was to give service to the people, why should that money get lost? Why the coins are getting lost? What happened to the coins? So, now, a country like Namibia, we just in a few weeks paid $750 million US dollars to back to international investor as part of commitment to repay the Eurobond, which was given in 2015. Now, when you are looking at the records, because I was trying to find out how the money was used. However, the money was used part of national budget to fund the overall budget and also to be prioritized in other projects. Now the question you're asking yourself to say, out of this $750 million US dollars, how much of this money, $13 billion, was used for the greater good of the Namibian people? That is a question that everybody should come up with. When you speak of 106 billion budget of 2025-2026. Some economists can say it's an imaginary budget because some money are not yet there. Some people can say it's an imaginary budget. But the question is that if you are using the numbers, how much of the budget funds are used correctly to benefit the Namibian people? And what lesson can we learn from other countries which are bankers and do not have any bargaining point in the boardroom of negotiation?
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben brandneue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat oder spare noch mehr mit unseren speziellen Abonnementplänen. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
Bargaining point in the boardroom of negotiation. Because one thing that Nelson Mandela has stated in his book, Long Walk to Freedom, is that a beggar does not have any option. A beggar does not have a choice. Because there was a time he was asked the question, are you a communist or you are a capitalist? He stated that a beggar does not have an option. If you are giving a beggar a bread, he or she cannot say, I want white bread or brown bread, or I want the one with lamb, or I want the one with, peanut butter. But you just take because you do not have any option. That's why at this juncture, it's quite very important. It's quite very crucial to make sure that when it comes to money coming from out, those are not your money. Whether it's your developmental partner, whether it's an NGO, those are not your money. Remember that there's also time to pay back. But are you using that fund correctly, effectively, and efficiently? And what will happen in terms of records when you have a history of misreporting? What will happen in terms of monitoring and evaluation where you have a history of losing of data? What will happen when you have a record of unavailable project managers? What will happen when you spend that money that you get from international funds on a luxurious lifestyle? That is not only going to damage your reputation, it's not only going to affect the development of your country, but the future generation due to your record of mismanagement and misreporting. Because remember, like Senegal, where it is now, people now, the current administration say, no, it's not us, these guys, they did not report the fundings. But now, you still need an approval of IMF Bank. Yeah, you need an approval of International Monetary Fund to make sure that, there is debt waivers, then you can get other lending programs. And what guarantee also is there that these countries are going to stand up? Because remember, I have never seen a statement until today, particularly from the AU, where African Union is stating to say, let us fight against terrorism. Let us get international support. What does this mean? It means that the situation is getting out of hand, particularly in Mali and the Sahel regions. Terrorists are advancing, especially the jihadists, and those are religious driven. And you are wondering who is supporting these people and who is giving them intelligence reports, who is giving them equipment, and also who is training them. So, that's why it always has to come back to issues of governance. It always has to come back to the issue of management of resources, particularly public funds, in order for you to move forward. So we are continuing with business and economic segment. We are looking at the issue of debt misreporting and also what debt have done to African countries. So in a short period of time, we're going to look at the list of countries in Africa with debt, and also how many of the countries in Africa have better debt servicing management system. Yes, we are moving forward with business and economic segment. And let us look a little bit on 2025 records, especially when you look at the list of countries in Africa with highest, debt or highest foreign debts in 2025. Now, looking at this list, it's very imperative to understand and also to find the difference between a country with highest debts, highest foreign debts, and also a country with highest debt per GDP ratio. Now, in the top 10, especially when you look at countries with highest, foreign debts in 2025, you have Angola, you have Kenya, Nigeria, Ethiopia, Egypt, Tanzania, Ghana, Zambia, Uganda, and Cote d'Ivoire. Now, there are countries which never really leave this category of highest debts, highest foreign debts. We have been giving the example of Zambia since the 1980s, one of the countries in Southern Africa which have suffered due to the policies of a structural adjustment program, particularly with IMF, Zambia being the highest producer of copper, that does not even make a difference. Its policy of changing its investment in social welfare and also to look at the policy of free market economy, that did not assist Zambia in the 1980s. That's why the records of foreign debts of Zambia in 1990, it was scary. Now, the other country that you need to look at is also Ethiopia, where it has obligation of 12.2 billion to, you know, World Bank, 20 billion owed to IMF, and also 6.8 to China. Now with Ethiopia, in recent weeks, we were discussing about Ethiopia trying to negotiate the commercial loans to be turned into concessional loans. And also to look at the report of IMF on Ethiopia, particularly on advising the country, particularly on how to deal with the debts. The question is that how did those countries end up with those debts? And what did they use the money which they got from international institutions? Because if you don't track, if you don't have records, if you do not trace where the money is going, how will you know the impact of that finance? If African countries cannot look and sit down and say at TICAD, Tokyo International Conference on African Development, Japan made a commitment of $5.5 billion to Africa, and also investment in technical assistance, particularly when it's come to train expert in cyber and technological advancement. Now the question is that when that money is put into African Development Bank, does somebody indicate, or do we have somebody who can indicate and trace to say, this is 20 million which was given to Namibia, for example, this is 30 which was given to Zambia, for example, this is the impact of the project? What is the impact of misreporting, misrepresentation, and also, omitting of financial records in international development? Because for you to be trusted, as you do in business, is also what needs to be done, particularly when countries are approaching international financial institutions or other countries to assist them in their development. Then the question is that, as an observer of politics and economy, you will be able to hear, you'll be able to read about financial situation in Namibia, but the numbers coming in, the numbers, the impact of that numbers is not always corresponding. What is the cause of standing white elephant project if those projects, when they were started, there was budget already in it? What is the impact of that? Who should be held responsible for inflation of prices? Who should assist us in tracing our own finance? And you also need to go deeper into the understanding of saying, do we have other barriers on critical, effective, and efficient financial reporting, particularly as a country? Do we have other barriers? Is it inability to fight terrorism financing? Is it the inability to trace those international companies that are invading tax? Is it the inability for us or the difficulties of us to deal with issues of cybersecurity, which we just report, but we don't do anything about it? Because when you come to that point, when you come to that point of misreporting, it should go deep into accountability. It should go deep into accountability. What have you done with finance? Where is the finance? What is the impact of that to the projects? This is quite a very important discussion, especially if you are contextualizing this discussion into the Namibian context. Because if you have Vision 2030, you have NDP until NDP 6, which quite made a lot of good noise compared to the other NDPs, because those were just taken to see part of the developmental plans. But when you have this NDP 6, have the question being asked, do we have a mechanism of tracing the progress? If we have a mechanism, do we have expert in monitoring the progress of these projects? Where do they come from? Where were they during NDP 5? Who did we bring in new to deal with monitoring and evaluation, to deal with tracing of the progress of those projects? Because it's not correct, it's not right at all to have a different plan, to have a good structured plan, then you have same people in place who are responsible to manage and track records of, you know, the progress of the projects. How come you have money coming back to the treasury? How come you have unreported records? How come, for example, you have somebody who was supposed, or who supposed, or who is managing public sector? Who is managing public sector and in charge of putting those policies in a very difficult situation, particularly when it comes to financial management and also misdirection of public resources? And we have to go and ask ourselves as individuals, as professionals, to say, could I be the reason that the downtrodden are not being able to reach the basic needs due to me misreporting the finance? How many of financial institutions have a questionable audit report? Because if we go and ask those questions, if we start discussing about this issue, we'll be able also to realize, to say, it's not only a record of us looking good or getting 100%, but it's a record that can assist countries, especially the countries which are in the path of development, to be able either to source funds, either to collaborate, or to work in partnership with other developmental partners, so that they can be able to drive developmental agenda. Because if we do not have those track records, if we do not have clear financial reporting system, if we do not have unpenetrable financial system that can track all the coins, then it's easier for us to develop. Ask yourself the question, why do you think Senegal, the previous administration of Senegal, decided to hide some debts that they owe to IMF? Why do you think is that? Isn't necessarily because of corruption. Sometimes it's a system that you are using that you do not know. Sometimes it's a system that you are using that is not able to trace where the money is going. Sometimes you are not able to identify where the problem is, because we have other unmonitored projects, unmonitored subcontractors, people who are infiltrating or inflating prices. Yeah, I understand there were discussions, there were arguments, discussion in the public argument, particularly when it's coming to our health system and issues of tenderpreneurs and all these things. But at the center of that conversation, is the issue of cutting cost, the issue of cutting the middleman. Then you end up wondering why the money continue to go up, but the impact is less to nothing, especially when it's coming to deal with real issues. Because as we have been discussing, and as we continue discussing, as Namibians, we do not have luxury of time, especially when it's coming to us being delayed by the system that we have trusted so much, us being delayed by the system that we have been operating with over the past 35 years, us complaining about the system if you're operating in the system, us complaining about this inability of the system to allow us to achieve what we want to achieve if we have the tools and the toolbox too, with the tools to assist us to shape the system. Who is responsible to shape the system? Because the question is always need to be asked to say now that every leader who come to power, every CEO who come to power, every executive who come to power complain about the system is very difficult now. The question has always been, who is responsible to fix the system? The system has to be fixed by those who make the laws, because they are the lawmaker. They are the system fixers, system professional fixers. And also, they are responsible to advance the system, either it's an academic system, either it's a financial system, either it's a political system. But the question is that who are those people who we are sending into the engine of the system that we want to use to sustain us, to protect us, and indeed to help us in reaching our developmental goals? Who are those people that we are sending there? Why do you have a parliamentarian who is a grade 7 graduate, for example? And is our people who are fielding those candidates, who are putting us into trouble? All the political parties in Namibia must be able to have a vetting process to say, no, if you are going to National Council, for example, at least you must be able to understand policies. At least you must be able to articulate issues, not only in the language of English, but in the language that you understand also, and you know the meaning of them. You must be able to read and write, because that is the only way that things are not going to be, people are not going to put food into your mouth. We're not going to put words into your mouth. People are not going to pass, letters and brown envelopes under your table, because we are surprised why we are not moving. Sometimes the people that we gave responsibility are not the people who understand how things are running. Sometimes the person that you give responsibility to run issues is not the person with a right qualification, a right moral integrity, a moral compass that is state is centered in delivering service on behalf of the state. That is why today, it's quite unfortunate, because there was a time, I was attending something at, I was actually attending an event on ethics, and it was, I think, Ethical Day. Yeah, I think it's an Ethical Day organized by JIPF, and all these, top executives, they come and speak. But when we speak of ethics, not too long ago, then one of the incidents happened of some of the finance being lost and all these things. And you're asking yourself a question to say, how do we deal with these issues? Not only at a theoretical level, but at a practical level. How do we deal with these issues? Can we come to the point of saying, if, for example, certain public resources is being lost, or if, for example, something is lost, somebody must be held responsible for that and must be set as an example to others? Is it an administrator? Is it a leadership? Is it an advisor? Because for now, Namibia, we cannot afford anymore. We cannot afford to lose 800 million, for example. And the debate should not be, is it, or closer to a billion which was lost, or is just 800 million, or is just 0.4%. That should not be the debate. The debate is that, what system are we using that is making us to continue losing the money? Continue making us to lose investment. A certain bank just disappeared from the earth of, from the face of earth. Nothing, nobody is traced, nothing. People go home. But do you really expect people to trust us with their money if we cannot be able to trace that? Why countries such as Burkina Faso, countries such as South Africa, country which I underestimated with my analysis, maybe I was wrong, but Namibia is still on the grey listing. We are still grey listed, colleagues, by Financial Action Task Force. And that should be the statement. Whether we have one thing that we are still working on, whether we have two deficiencies in our financial system that we are still working on, we are still grey listed. And it's not a good thing. And it's not just a statement. We are still high risk jurisdiction. Yes, by European Union Commission. They praise us there. Whether we say we are progressing or we are not progressing, thank you to those who put efforts to track the financial movement and also to prosecute. But are we moving somewhere? We are still at that grey listing zone. So the question is that, how do we deal with the issue of debt, misreporting, misrepresentation, and proper financial management? How do we avoid cooking of numbers? How do we deal with statistics, on-time statistics? How do we deal with on-time statistics? How do we promote research and development to make sure that we are not going to be blocked as a country in those line of looking for assistance? Either is to get another euro bond. I know people do not want to speak about this thing, but by the look of things, we're going to get a euro bond. Maybe after a year, or maybe after a few months. If not a euro bond, we're going to get somewhere. Fundings. But the question is that, are we reporting correct information? If you are reporting correct information, how do we keep up on correcting, on reporting correct information? You know, I was looking at the records of Central Procurement Board and looking at some of the projects. Then look at the complication, the complexity, the entanglement of issues, the criticality of issues. And you are also asking yourself how many projects have been operational for the past 10 years? How many are white elephant? How many are still in court? How many people were held accountable for misusing of funds which were supposed to drive priority areas for the Namibian people? How many reports with those tenders and projects, how many of those reports were questioned by the neutral court of law? How many unanswered questions in our financial reporting? And how many people were held accountable? And what lesson was drawn from that? Because if we come to the point of not drawing any lesson from discussions that we are bringing, then we are good for not doing anything that is right, that is for the future. Because what I'm indicating is that we do not have a luxury of time, and the progress in the world, the challenges in the world are not going to wait for us. It's how we are positioning ourselves as a country. It's how we are positioning ourselves as Namibian young people, as accountants and auditors, as honest executives. Not to look at a defense mode, but to look at how do we deal with issues. for us not to end up like Senegal, for us not to end up like Malawi, for us not to end up like other countries which are negotiating to say, no, let us change from a commercial loan to a consensual loan. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's just a time frame that you are extending. It's just a negotiation, maybe in terms of interest rate. At the end of the day, you still have to pay that amount of money with interest. So what's so sustainable about the way African countries are using external fundings to drive their projects and also to prioritize priority areas? I was very happy to attend the midterm. It was a breakfast midterm budget discussion with the corporates. And also to listen to professionals who are indicating that Namibia now is looking inward to source for domestic, domestic financing of the budget, looking inward. The question we are asking again is that what happened? What lesson have we learned when we deal with external world, especially when it's coming to fundings? What lesson have we learned there? And why are we planning to do it differently? So for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And today we are looking at the impact of debt misreporting in national development. We are drawing from the case study of Senegal, which is, around $11 billion, which were not reported. That's why now the country is in trouble with International Monetary Fund, especially when it's coming to wavering of those debts before coming up with a new deal of assisting that country to run a developmental project. We are also drawing lessons from countries which have high external debts or foreign debts. Look at Zambia. Look at Angola. Look at Ivory Coast. Look at Ethiopia. And many other countries. Let us also not forget the French. The trouble that African countries are in is also the same where the French are in. But those are in a developed world. They are better than us. Their poverty is not our poverty. Their suffering is our suffering. Maybe their suffering is what we are craving for. Their debate, I don't want the Nandos, I want KFC, just for an example. Their debate, I want the beef, not pork. But our debate is, what am I going to eat? Our challenge is, what am I going to eat? Am I going to eat today or tomorrow? Am I going to eat Friday? Those are our challenges as Africans. We can say France is also in debt. There's also a crisis in their governance system. That one you cannot ignore. But their hunger is not our hunger. The Secretary General of UN described the situation in Sudan as a hunger crisis, humanitarian crisis. It's the richest country in the world, humanitarian crisis. Now, the question that we should continue asking is that, how do we deal with finance that we secured from outside to drive projects that were supposed to be sustainable, that were supposed to be impactful? There was a day I've asked a question to say, by the end of last year, German Development Bank gave to the National Planning Commission, in collaboration with the Ministry of Agriculture, Water, at that time in rent reform, around 20 million euros. And in that context of 20 million euros, some of the finance is for training of people to deal with climate. Some of the finance is also for, assisting in drilling of water, or in sourcing water from Ohangwena aquifer. Now, the question that you need to ask, especially if you do not want to be like Senegal and many other countries, although this funding is not from.
If you lost your show, all of Taliko Tungupo, Omawa, oh, Tomono, Okojako NHP, Genge, Walongi Fire, Longi Folili, Pedulo, Wawo, Haku, Olo Hali Pitti, Kwa Fikune Fiku, Mefiloshi, Shalow, Haku, eh, Owa Washimali, Wawo, Shosha, Hupako, Washika, Wet Delwa, come to Alandola, Kashi, Koma Punglo, and Ashano, Jolo, Elewe, Otodulo, Kulongi for Omawa, eh, Wa Hupuko, Opona Miti Toshiningi Momikalo di Hapungashi, Okufotila. Po oi mali wa ishona oyo hodulu okupolwa ulifutila ove mwene oma yakulo olu hapu hakala ina kwa telwa mo wawe kwa folo elo unamiti ile oto julu no kuli okupitifapo e mwe didonumba toka la ino futa e akulo lo elo unamiti kwa uyalele uhapu talela po nhp.com.na e mango no malandola fano ododi na okulandulwa NHP rooted in care for you.
Your life, your peace of mind, NHP will about you.
Countries, although this funding is not from from IMF, it's from German Development Bank. And from economy, you understand that there is nothing for free. Not even your parents can assist you nowadays for free. But that is a